recall discussions with your friends about these sorts of ideas at the time when you were, say, 11 and 12, when you yourself were beginning to feel more restricted by the definitions of what being a woman might mean?
I remember that the one who took both the French and the Latin with me, the one who gloried in the other things that we were learning, the algebra and geometry and so on. And we both thought that there was more to life than sitting around. She was a Catholic, and she certainly thought there was more to life than raising 10 kids.
Mm.
And I thought there was more to life than raising 5 on Saturday. So.
Did you have any model at all for an alternative in what you might want to do?
Just Joe and Little Women. No human model, mm-hmm. I know that.
What sorts of things were you reading at the time?
I don't know. I read Little Women when I was 9, and then Little Man and Joe's Boys and all the Louisiana Alcott books. I started that when I was 9. I remember I was 9 and a half when I got them for Christmas. But around in that time, I read a lot of Zane Grey. I read a lot of boys' books, supposedly, you know. I read books about football, and Red Grange, and that sort of thing. And I thought, gee, that's really fun to do all these. And and then I remember I read there was a thing called The Riddle Club, and there were tons of books about that, mm-hmm. and I got those. And another one about Marjorie somebody, who was a nasty little rich kid. Anyway, I read all of them. I read all of them. Called her dad's father, and they all strolled out for ice cream, and I couldn't see why my parents couldn't be here to do anything like that. Have cooked 6 more, you know. But why couldn't we have a cook 6 more? I really read just about anything that came to me. I just loved, from the time I learned to read when I was maybe 4 or 5, I just loved to read anything that came to me.
Were there magazines in your house?
I think Mother might have taken a woman's edge. For a long time, Mother bought I don't know what it was, a thing called True Story, which was, you know, the kind of magazine it was. Love story.
Mm-hmm.
And then she forbade herself even that pleasure when she was reading one on the train one time, and the minister got on the train, and she said, "Well, if I'm ashamed to say I didn't see me reading it, it must be naughty, you know, it must not be something I should be." So, you know, I think it was really too much fun with just that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever read it?
I probably did, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure if I ever did enough, though.
You brought up allusions to religion several times. What role did religion play in
your life? Really, my dad wouldn't go to church. He went a few times when we did the mass, I know. But they were Lutheran, both of them. I think baptized Lutherans. And we all were baptized Lutherans, not the children. But we didn't go to church regularly, except when we were living in Harrisburg. And we lived up here in Newcastle. We went to Sunday school, my younger sister and I. I think it was Presbyterian Sunday school. But there was really no... Mother read a Bible every day, a chapter every day. Can't be yet.
What's
up? Oh, no, what's up? And much of what I, knew was her interpretation of what she was doing.
Mm.
A lot of do's and don'ts, and a lot of that, that much. Yeah.
It sounds like, though, that up to this age of 11 or 12, that was incorporated into your consciousness to the extent that you talk about praying to become a boy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm wondering, that Mother told me a lot of those things, and I'm sure I learned them in Sunday school, mm-hmm. too. But we went to Sunday school a lot more than they went to church. I guess because I don't remember who initiated that, I don't know if it was the idea.
What What was your father like in your relationship to him like? You talked about your mother being fairly straight-laced and fairly strict in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
How would you describe him in your relationship to him?
I think he was much, much looser. And, although, I don't know, it's hard to describe my daddy. He was really quite, quite middle, I think. He liked, he was a supervisor in the, he was a foreman, or assistant foreman in the car shop. And as such, he had work crews, persons working for him. Many of them were Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked the Italian life. Dad liked to drink, and my mother hated drinking. And she said she never found drunk. I don't know if she knew what drunk was, to tell you the truth, because it certainly did drink, I know. And but he liked the Italians and the music and the laughter and that sort of thing, and mother didn't like that thing. So it seemed to me like, you know, I'm more of a jolly, laughing person, but yet I could always feel a lot of tension between them. And until I was a teenager, I would decide it was mother hands down. But then as I began to be more aware of what was going on, I could see that, you know, a lot of attention was certainly provoked by mother, I thought.
Mm.
And I thought she was just not trying to understand dad or his point of view. So he went out to see his friends, you know, and I don't mean women, I'm sure not that.
Mm-hmm.
But men piled around a good deal. And the people he piled around with, mother didn't want to pile around with the wives. So, you know, from time to time, I'm not sure, it might have been once a month for all I know, he would go over to see one of his friends. Or they would come in. No, not really. I don't recall any friends of mine.
It comes up to the family, which almost took out a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
She never wanted to copy class with neighbor women. She wanted to get her work done. That was the important thing. She was always afraid of confiding in anyone. She was certainly not going to confide in her. You know, we never talked about how much dad made. Now, most of the time, we never had any idea.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid you should let people know whether you were a Republican or a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the family, these are things that you didn't talk about.
What sort of things did the family talk about, for instance, at mealtime?
I didn't get the day's happenings. I don't recall them. We certainly didn't have political discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not we did. We knew that Dad was a rabid Republican. And Roosevelt was going to ruin the nation. And her daddy was racial prejudice.
Mm.
We had an occasional black child in school. But he warned me that I'd better not be seen walking down the street. So I remember that he brought that up. Because I was talking about one of the kids, you know, in school. And I was when I was in the third or fourth grade.
Mm.
And I remember he warning me not to walk. Even then, I knew that, you know, that the kid is just like everybody else.
How do you see yourself compared to your siblings in your childhood? Did you see yourself as being like them?
No.
Or being different?
Can you? I always thought I was adopted in terms of you. I mean, when I grew up, I thought, I would have adopted a third child. But I really felt closer to my brother than that, too. Than to the girls, who seemed to me like, you know, like the alien creatures, really.
Mm.
And the things they like to do, and that's what I have to go. That's
right. While we're still on the issue of family relationships, I'm wondering your childhood years and early adolescence.
Uh-huh.
What your responsibilities were. For decisions around the children that each of your parents took?
I got the impression that mother made most of the decisions. Now, the other kids may have different views. I find when I discuss things with any of my three sisters, we all have such different ideas about what went on than I. But I get the impression that mother made most of the decisions. If it was something she didn't want to make, she'd say, You'll have to ask your father. And I think some of the things that later on, I really believe that Mother quoted Dad or gave Dad's opinion about things that when, you know, wasn't really his opinion at all. And of course, he didn't, dispute it. But I think many women do that. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall there being conflicts between them over the issue of the children and the children's
behavior? Not of the conflict. I think most of us behaved, my younger sister was the only one who really openly rebelled and misbehaved in terms of defying our parents openly.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like from what we've been saying that your youth really changed dramatically as you were approaching.
Dramatically.
11, 12, 15 years old. You recall your preparation for your mentees and your experience?
Mm-hmm. when I was in maybe sixth grade, and we moved to Newcastle, there was a nice old woman living next door. Mrs. Ferris, I remember. I remember she called me up into her porch one day and asked and told me about it. And, not the girls, we didn't all know it anyway, but she called me up. I guess maybe she knew that Mother was reticent for whatever reason. She called me up and told me. And then later on, Mother very embarrassedly said, "Did any of the girls ever tell you about?" And I said, "Well, Mrs. Ferris did, so got Mom off the hook." But I remember I couldn't wait because I was 12 and a half, and I just couldn't wait to grow up and get out of this coil of dependence. I guess I just always felt that I was trapped.
Yes.
You know, I just couldn't wait to be able to do what I wanted.
And you saw that as changing what you
were? Oh, I did, yes.
Was it
that way? Oh, sure. You're on your way to becoming a woman, you know. I just couldn't wait to grow up. And that was on the way to growing up. I thought, so there's really tangible evidence that I'm growing up.
Now, did your girlfriends start to menstrual periods before you did?
Some of them, I think they did. It seemed to me anyway that I was tagging along, maybe not, but it seemed to me that I was tagging along. I may have been right about in the middle, because 12 and a half is about in the middle. No, sure. We did. Yeah, we knew who had started, who hadn't, you know, and it was really a big deal. We thought it was wonderful.
Had you been prepared in terms of the use of Kotex, or was your family using Rags?
Mother got Kotex for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that after the first box or two, then I used Rags.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody else, I'm sure she thought that it was, but she always washed them. We just never really experienced a lot of the things, you know, because Mother always did things for us.
Now, why, was it for financial reasons that you then switched to Rags after the first?
I don't know. It may have been because this was all in the time now when everybody's, you know, Dad's supporting everybody.
Yeah.
And so it may well have been that it was money.
Do you recall, this is something I've been trying to find out for years, and I have yet to find something that I can remember. For instance, when you were in high school,
mm-hmm.
if you were using Rags, what would you do if you were changed in the course of the day during high school?
I must have used, I don't know, because I never used Rags in high school.
Oh.
I'm sure, you know, by then I was using... Actually, as soon as I found out about tampons, I remember seeing the ad saying no pads, no pads, no pins, no bads, no belts, no pins. I thought, how could that be? Because I didn't know about vaginas. Isn't that amazing?
How old would you have been at that point?
My God, it was after we came out here, 15. I suppose I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just had no idea, had no concept of a woman's anatomy. How in the world, I mean, God knows you don't ask your mother a question like that. So I just, as soon as possible, I switched to tampons.
Now, So this Native woman really didn't explain much to you then?
No, just about that there was a menstrual flow, and that it was meant that she was signaled you're becoming a woman, and that's sort of all the good stuff, you know, about it. I thought, wow. She certainly made it sound attractive.
Did your activities begin to change before you came to California in terms of your social life and relationship with boys?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that I remind, you know, I would hope you'll be discreet. When I was 14, my brother had a friend who was older even than he. He was 12 years older than I. And she seduced me. And so from then on, not to the point of actual intercourse until I was 15, but he was very close with Bud. He came out here with Bud, then he came back and stayed a lot with us, you know, was always around the house. And I don't know why my parents didn't notice anything, but they didn't. He didn't really seduce me completely until after my dad died. But Mother evidently didn't notice it was anything that he was being too intimate with me. Although, you know, she certainly should have. I mean, I would certainly notice it if it were my little girl or my young daughter. But through all my high school years here, you know, I was just madly in love with him and really not interested in him. I was afraid to go out with boys. You know, I was shy, and here was somebody I already knew, really, basically, I think was a lot of the lure of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I fancied that I was in love with him, and that that's the way it was going to be the rest of my life, is what I thought at the time.
You were about 14?
I was 14, maybe, you know, did everything but, you know, butt penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 when we actually had intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
When you say that you were seduced by him,
mm-hmm.
I know it's hard to distinguish between the kinds of pressures, especially at that age.
Uh-huh.
But do you feel that you were really pressured and forced into all of this, or that you were seduced in the more...
More in the sense that... he cuddled and kissed me in a penetrating, sexy kind of way,
mm-hmm.
Designed to arouse me, and I was aroused, mm-hmm. and madly in love with him. He's very handsome.
How much older? Was
12 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 14, he was 26.
Oh.
And you know, if it were now, the difference wouldn't be that
mm-hmm.
great. But in those days,
mm-hmm.
at that time, I think it was, because I was a very naive 14-year-old girl.
And had you had any experience with boys?
None. No, never. That's the sad part. I mean, I'd never touched a boy, really. I might maybe briefly touch a hand,
mm-hmm.
but not even sat close. I'd played ball with boys, but never had even so much as sat next to one, never gone to a movie with one, never, nothing like that. And so, you know, I was really, you know, these feelings of, I thought, well, that's love, because that's what I thought love must surely be. Yet I thought, I was so mad, and I'm just like a moth to the flame. And of course, he was very attractive. He had a lot of women. Friends, a lot of girlfriends, a lot of women, you know, including one of my teachers who was dating him.
Hmm.
So that he seemed, you know, like just a someone that was really worth anything. Naturally, I thought we'd get married and live happily ever after. But, so I was.
Did you discuss this with your girlfriends at all?
No.
So no one knew that.
No.
How did you?
To this day, almost nobody knows. I don't think I've ever told anybody.
Hmm. How did you feel carrying this around then as a 14-year-old?
Well, you know, I thought it was all my fault, you know. You know, we're learning now about girls and their incest, and I think it's all their fault.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I identify with that completely, because I thought if I were a good girl, I wouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt it. There was something wrong with me that I had allowed it, or that I had seduced him in some way,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they were, I really felt, I felt guilty, I felt, you know, ashamed, and certainly I felt bad.
Hmm.
I thought, just somehow it's my fault.
Now, how did this affect your notions of your life then? Because here you've had all these plans to be this old maybe school teacher.
I just sliced it off. Just absolutely departmentalized. That's all. It just really didn't affect the fact that I thought that I was going to be a school teacher. And then, of course, I was 14. I think it was 15 when we moved out here. Yeah. 15. Well, in fact, I hoped that I'd be lucky enough that he would marry me, but I really couldn't count on it. I was still planning to teach school.
Mm.
And, of course, we came out here. Anyone could teach. You didn't have to be unmarried to teach school.
Now, when your father died right around
the time? Right. He did. He died when I was 15.
Now, was that very sudden?
Yes, very. He had had his physical, you know, for the, the company always said we have a physical right around their birthday, which was in September. And he passed, you know, just as far as any of us knew, flying colors. I don't think that he told them anything negative because Dad didn't mention it at home. And then in October, less than a month afterwards, he had a stroke, cerebral hemorrhage, and never recovered, never gained consciousness. So it was, you know, terribly sudden. He was 45 years old.
At that time, there was you and your younger sister still living in the house.
Yes, and I'm not sure. I think that my sister, I think Peg was living there with her two children. Yes, I'm sure she was. Her husband had finally gotten a job, but he not much of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he had moved. He was living with our grandmother, and going to work from there. So that was probably 120 miles from where we lived, in Newcastle. But Peg and her two children were still living with us when Dad died. So we just, in fact, Mimi was going to school.
Mm.
She had reached school age, not Shirley.
Now, what made your mother decide to move to California?
My brother was out here when Dad died, and he had a job. He was a bartender, but he had a job at any rate. And mother didn't know how to do anything except actually housework, all she'd ever done. Many, many years ago, she was a waitress. But so she decided to move out here, you know, because Bud was going to come back out here. He came home and then came back out here. And Dad left some insurance money. So Mother thought she'd come out here and get a start, you know, at something, some way to earn a living.
So she thought she would have to work then?
Oh, she knew she would. Well, there didn't have insurance money to support us for very long.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did that move change your life?
It really uprooted me a lot because, you know, I did have friends there, and a lot of friends, and we lived there, you know, from sixth grade to tenth. So that was as long as I'd ever been anywhere that I recall. And we came out, and I started Hollywood High School. There, the tenth grade was held in the junior high school because there wasn't room at the high school, and they were busy taking care of that. Some of us had to stay in the, we had a big junior high, so from our junior high, we just stayed here for the 10th grade. So, you know, I came out to Hollywood, and it was really a culture shock, believe me, from a small town in Pennsylvania to Hollywood High School.
Well, this would have been mid-30s,
yeah.
What was it like then in Hollywood?
Well, it seemed to me that every second girl had bleached blonde hair, and every third girl had a certain shade of purple hair that was red. It was Hannah in those days. And, you know, they wore makeup, and of course I didn't wear makeup at all. You know, I really felt like a bumpkin, I must tell you.
And how about your clothing compared to yours?
I don't know. I've never been much to notice for noticing clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I didn't have many clothes, so I had very few. And it was just, God, it was traumatized. And then Miss Brooks, I remember, was the registrar, and I'd been taking five solids, you know, and I took my, since I was taking my Latin along with my French, I had to, I had five solids. And, God, we had homework back there galore. We came out here, and the registrar said, well, since we don't know how you do, you know, I came out with all A's, but since they didn't know how I did, if I could handle their tough program, she insisted that I drop one of my songs. Now, this was in April, just before the end of school. You know, can you imagine? And naturally, I wouldn't fight with her. I just wasn't brought up to sass a teacher, I can tell you. So she made me drop that as someone, so I chose U.S. history. I thought I could always pick that up later rather than a foreign language or my math. So I did, and then, of course, by the next year, I was allowed to take five solids again. But
Where did your mother move to when you came out here?
We rented a little house in Hollywood.
And who was living there?
My brother and his friend, who drove us out, the guy that that I was having an affair with, he drove us to California in mother's car. And mother and my sister and I.
No, he was living in the house with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was really just incredible. I don't know how mother could not have known. Maybe she knew and didn't know how to handle it. I don't know. But that's it was really bad, you know, because then there he was all the time, and I just never related to any boys my own age. So it was really.
Now, how about, did you begin to make friends at Hollywood Hospital?
A few, but not many. Not many.
Now, what were your thoughts at that time, then, about your future, and how did this fit in with your relationship to him? Were you beginning to sort out what your future was going to be?
Well, I could, you see, out here, you could be married and still teach school. So I still wanted to teach. I was still very good at putting my head in the sand and saying, well, you know, somehow or other I am going to go to college. Of course, we had no counselors, nothing like that in those days. And I thought, you know, with my grades, that they would offer me a scholarship. I thought that if I were only just got good enough grades, I would surely get a scholarship. I knew about that. I never knew you had to apply for the damn thing. You know, I just thought that somehow or other God would come along and tap me on the shoulder and lead me in, you know, and I just thought they'd come to me and say, you know, look at all this money you won.
You should have known after you didn't make your boy that didn't work.
I should have known, but I didn't. I thought, well, this time he's going to do it. And it just never dawned on me to go in and apply for any kind of aid, or of course, there were no aids, but there were certainly scholarships. And I thought that you also had to be, and it's still true, you do have to have some other qualities besides good grades for most scholarship. But I still thought, I don't know by what miracle that I'd be able to go, and it became, then the old lady, Miss Brooks, came in and said, you've got credits to burn, would you like to graduate early? So I said, boy, get rid of the dust of that place. And, you know, I just didn't know what to do. My mother didn't know anything about college. And my brother was not interested. He didn't know anything about anything but a little private college in Pennsylvania. He went to Susquehanna University back there.
He never returned to college.
No, he never did. And it was just by chance after I graduated. And actually, I was just doing housework. There were a lot of places I applied for work that wouldn't hire you. In fact, I even went to work I applied at Douglas and Lockheed, or tried to, but they wouldn't talk to me until I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just doing housework and cleaning people's houses. And
this is while you were still in high school?
No, that's like, well, while I was still in high school, I did too, you know, for money. But then when I graduated, that's all I was able to find to do. And then somebody told Mother that UCLA was very cheap. And we inquired, and sure enough, it was. So, you know, I hustled right on out and applied for the fall semester.
Mm-hmm. Now, at all this time, you're still having this relationship with
all this time, yeah, that was. And,
was your life probably revolving around that then?
Yeah, around him.
Did you have other social relationships?
No, none. And none of us really made friends, I don't think. Mm. It was really a really socially deprived situation. And, then, you know, I told you that that one of my teachers, my sewing teacher, was dating this guy, Clarence. And when I went to Hollywood High School, a girl going there was dating him. She was older, and she had come back to finish school. And my God, here she was in my gym class. And so, you know, my heart was always just, you know, broken by his activities.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't seem to shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, yeah. Then one time, oh, I remember now, the thing that really made me take a stop and take another look. I was still in high school, and he said, I think I had complained about some of his activities. And he says, oh, well, you want to get married? We'll get married, sure. You can quit school, and we'll get married right away. We'll go right over to Las Vegas. And I said, quit school? You know, just thank God for that moment of sanity. And he said, well, certainly, you know, what do you need to school? I said, oh, yeah, I need to see quitting school. So I said, no, thank you.